From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, welcome to Friday.
Morena, Mike.
Yeah, she was ugly.
Yep, you've got your number. We're now officially in recession. Well, actually, we were officially in recession because that is from back in June. So we're probably out of recession now, given that it's now the second half of September. Hey, Mike, the thing is, given the potential for a rogue outcome in that number, the number was actually pretty close to expectations. Mm. If you look at the expectations, I mean, the average of market forecasts, I think, was around minus 12.5. You just got to discount that Treasury forecast of minus 16 because that was settled on weeks ago. And we've had quite a bit more data since then. So, yeah, I think one of the interesting points to note about this is that we went into this incredibly deep recession. 12.2 is a deep recession, but it wasn't on the back of an economic event. You know, there was no subprime mortgage problem here. There was no sort of inflation shock. It was a medical event, a pandemic. So it's very different from previous recessions. Not unsurprising where the damage was done. I mean, transport minus 39%, hospitality minus 47%, and then you get some of those what were deemed non-essential industries, like construction, non-food manufacturing, they were basically closed down, so they had ugly numbers as well. Just on that Australian comparison that you've been making, Mike, yes, they were 7%. Actually, interesting, look at the OECD average. I mean, you referred to some of the European nations. The OECD average for the quarter, I believe, was minus 10.5. So at minus 12.5, we're actually worse than the OECD average. And one of the contributing factors to this, of course, is the importance of tourism in our economy. So it's a big part of it. And it's a greater proportion of the New Zealand economy than these other countries that we're comparing to. So you shut it down, it has a bigger impact. The fact of the matter is, though, Mike, you can use that as an explanation, but it doesn't go away. You know, it's a fact. So you can say, oh, well, tourism was a big part. Well, what are we going to do about it? That's exactly what you've got to ask. And so the effectiveness of our response now, I think, will only become clear over time. But I suppose I look at it this way, Mike. I look at that 12.2, which is an incredibly ugly number, but I combine it with the awful forecasts for the government finances, which came out yesterday, which show a potential cratering of our net worth and a frightening nature of intended spending. And what it highlights to me is the most important issue is what happens from here. You know, how strong will the rebound be in quarter three? How will that momentum carry on into quarter four? You know, the current restrictions are not helping. There's a lot of dispersion around the estimates for quarter three. And I would make the comment that Treasury had that minus 16 in their numbers, so we should expect some positive movements in the half-yearly fiscal and economic update. But the fact of the matter is, Mike, I suppose from my point of view, this is the most important election issue.
Couldn't agree more.
Exactly. What do we do now?
What's the plan?
And that's what the focus should be on.
Exactly. So you look across to Australia, and I know we need to be a bit, you know, careful of the headline number, but 110,000 jobs is 110,000 jobs.
Oh, that caught everyone by surprise. They were expecting, you know, the economists over in Australia are expecting Australian unemployment to go from 7.5 to 7.7, so a small deterioration. Well, they did not get that. It went completely the other direction. The unemployment rate dropped to 6.8%. The economy added 110,000 jobs. Look, admittedly, part-time work was leading the charge, and no surprises, Victoria actually, together with Tasmania, recorded a fall in employment. But New South Wales going very well. And yeah, Josh Frydenberg, the Australian Treasurer, stated, what we do know is that closed borders cost jobs. But the other interesting factor in behind this is that there's a lot of talk there about trying to get all of the stakeholders in employment, you know, from both sides of the equation, to work together and increase the flexibility in the industrial relations to try and improve the employment outcome, which I think is really interesting. There was a little bit of criticism that there was a big rise in sole traders, so people going out on their own. But yes, big surprise.
All right. And what about EROAD?
Oh, yeah, just very quickly, local transport software company sells software to track fleet management, and they're looking to expand into the US market. But they're raising a bit of money, so here's another company taking the opportunity to, you know, the share market's pretty buoyant, to get out there, raise $50 million and try and improve their export.
We wish them well. What are the numbers?
27,855 on the Dow, down 178, so a little bit of weakness there, 0.64. The S&P 500 is off just over 1%, 3347, down 38. The NASDAQ down 1.5%, 167 points, 10,883. The FTSE 100, 6049, down 29, 0.47% fall. The Nikkei, 23,319, down 156 points, minus 0.67. Shanghai Composite down 13, 3270. It was a red negative day in Australasia yesterday. The ASX 200 5883 down 80, a 1.2% fall, and the NZX 50 fell 38 points, 0.32%, closing at 11,777. On the currencies, Kiwi dollar still strong, 0.6745 against the US, 0.9237 Aussie, 0.5699 euro, 0.5208 pounds, 70.65 yen, gold $1,945.64, and we are closing the week with Brent crude a bit stronger, $43.35.
You have a most excellent weekend. We'll see you Monday. Appreciate it as always from jmowealth.co.nz.